Hello yet again, my friends. Welcome to How to Get Away with Law, an unofficial podcast for the hit ABC show, How to Get Away with Murder. And we are going to talk about Season 2, Episode 2, She's Dying. And ABC.com seems to be getting a little short and skimpy with their episode synopsis, so you know what we're going to do for recap? We're going to just go around the internet and see who has more interesting recaps. Of course, I can go and do one on my own, but you guys already have to listen to me ramble about my own thoughts, and you got to listen to my voice. So I figured I'll give you a couple moments of my voice rambling about somebody else's writing. So without further ado, this is your host, Kim, and let's go ahead and get into that recap now, shall we? Annalise takes the stand and feels the heat on this week's How to Get Away with Murder, but first a flashback to 2 months before, which shows Wes fleeing the shooting while his professor boss is on death's door, but he isn't alone. It turns out Laurel, Michaela, and Connor is part of whatever happened. The Hapsaw siblings now face not only charges for killing their parents, but an aunt as well during an arraignment. They are questioned. Caleb says he was home all night and he was together with his sister the entire time. Despite this being a lie, Catherine goes along with the story. The sealed arrest warrant revealed Caleb's DNA was at the crime scene. Caleb comes clean that he went for a run, but not in the vicinity of the murder. He didn't say because he was afraid it would be incriminating. Oliver hacks into the Philadelphia Police Department website. This reveals that cops ran two DNA tests within hours of each other. They deleted one and planted the DNA at the scene. This was a needed win for Annalise and her team. Annalise is trying to concentrate on work while being a target for DA Emily Sinclair, the prosecutor on Nate's case. Sinclair makes it clear with her questioning that she believes Annalise killed her husband. Viola Davis displays her amazing acting chops with an amazing performance during this particular scene. You can see that the experience has taken its toll on her when she breaks down in the women's bathroom. Bonnie is still trying to get back in Annalise's good grace after she found out that she killed Rebecca. An interaction between the two shows the mother-daughter type relationship going on here. Bonnie is indebted to Annalise and wanted to take care of her the same way she did for her. I'm sure down the line we will get some more Bonnie backstory. Nate refuses to fib on the stand, which makes me go in a different direction to get him off the hook. She uses Sinclair's focus on Annalise against her, making it seem she also believed the wife committed the crime. Eve tells everything that really happened. The plan worked as the judge found there wasn't enough evidence for Nate to go to trial for the murder. Annalise was emotionally drained by the proceeding as Eve hit hard. Eve goes to her house to make amends, which leads to a steamy love scene. Nate was creeping out of Annalise's residence when Eve and herself were saying goodbye. Laurel comes to see Frank and get her some. However, Frank doesn't want to be treated like a piece of meat. He is not that type of guy. Anymore, I guess. Meanwhile, Wes goes home to find Rebecca's stuff outside her apartment. He takes one particular picture for a memento, which includes a new character named Levi. This guy, met Michaela and Connor at the courthouse earlier in the day. Of course, Michaela actually goes on a date with him, so now we have a connection. Asher rubs it in Sinclair's face that Nate's trial is over and he can move on. Miss Sinclair reveals she is now the prosecutor for the Hapsaw case. We get another flashback that Annalise is clinging to life after being shot, but Sinclair is dead somewhere else on the property. You can thank Mr. Scott Fishman at channelguidemagblog.com for that recap. Yay, hope that was exciting and different. Or maybe it was lame. I have no idea. Your choice. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into the recap, shall we? Or the in-depth analysis. Of course, here we go with this flash forward, and the murderous Keating Four were involved in this flash forward murder. It's always your fault, Annalise, Connor says. Always your fault. Yes, well, here we go. Now we know the usual four are involved in this strange flash forward, but we're not going to get into that just now. Instead, we're going to go back in time 2 months in the past. Catherine is definitely the weak link out of the brother and sister adopted duo. Whether this means she's the innocent party in this murder or not, is just, yeah, or she's just the most susceptible, I'm not yet sure. I mean, Annalise sniffed her out pretty quickly. You could tell she was lying. I mean, I could see it in her face. So, I have further speculation on that, but we won't get to that at this moment. What I want to know is, am I the only person that's sad about Rebecca's murder? Wes might just be hiding it, but I feel like Bonnie's going to have to pay the price soon. And I wonder if Bonnie is the person who shot Annalise in the flash forward. Am I getting too ahead of myself? Alright, sorry. Back in the past. I'm not sure why Connor just volunteered Oliver's HIV positive status to cover up the conversation when Asher walked on in and nosed into that conversation. I mean, they do a lot of whispering around that place knowing that, well, actually, everybody in that house knows what happened. Oh, but they always forget Asher. He's just in the background, so maybe I can't really blame him for doing all that whispering, but I just felt like Connor just threw Oliver just right from the bus. They couldn't figure out another excuse. I guess maybe they were just thinking that since that was kind of a heavy issue, there was no way Asher was going to try to question that more, even though he did question that, talking about maybe he should have been wrapping it up or whatever. But I don't know. It just seemed pretty rough to just throw Oliver under the bus like that. Now in the courtroom, we pretty much know that Miss Sinclair is obviously supposed to be a hateable character. I mean, the actress Sarah Burns is just knocking that role out of the park. I mean, I thought she had some sort of knowledge that Annalise and Eve were banging at some point, but I think she was just trying to find an edge to get closer to blaming Annalise for Sam's murder or something. I mean, she's blaming her own witness. Can we bring up that point? She's has Annalise there to pretty much say, you know, Nate was the one who killed Sam, killed her husband. But she's just, nope. She's intent on saying, nope, it was Annalise. Annalise and Nate together. So, not only is she frying her own witness, she's frying Nate, and she's just going at it. And Sarah Burns doing a real good job with this role of the hateable Miss Sinclair. Speaking of Asher and Bonnie go over to the Hatstall house and talk to a Miss Guthrie, but not before they talk about getting a little frisky, which is nice to see Asher finally feeling comfortable, you know, because him and Bonnie are cute, and you know, I was hoping maybe they could sneak off into a room, but Miss Guthrie walks in, and she wasn't having any of trying to cover up Catherine and Caleb. She just says, well, nope. In fact, Caleb gave us the night off, so there we go. There is if Catherine and Caleb, or maybe even just Caleb, as I assumed last episode, if he was looking for anybody to cover up his whereabouts, it certainly isn't going to be the staff. You know, during this whole thing, especially with the way Sinclair is all over Annalise, Annalise is unraveling like really quickly, and it's brilliant screen fodder. I mean, obviously, we see that Emmy winning gold. And it's also too bad that Sinclair isn't currently aware that Annalise has banged Nate and Eve, because that would be real juicy. Could you imagine that? She could implicate both Annalise and Nate, and even Nate's lawyer, and say, hey, maybe all three of them planned this because they had this weird half-bisexual, like, triangle of some sort, and Sam just got in the middle of that, so they just had to get rid of him, and they have this weird plan where Eve, since she's not the, you know, Annalise, she could pretend like she's just an outsider trying to defend Nate, and all three of them are cooperating, and they're the ones who killed Sam, even though it's really Eve and Annalise cooperating. None of them killed Sam. But, I mean, that would be seriously juicy, but I think that would be a little too much. We've got a huge convoluted plot in the first place. And is it not at all weird that this plain-clothed dude named Levi is picking up on a chick in a courthouse. Yes, Connor got laid in the courthouse last season. I didn't forget. But this whole thing looked shady even before we find out what happens later, which of course we'll discuss later, but I just thought that was really suspicious. Wouldn't you have second-guessed that? And Michaela actually sort of did and said he's in a courthouse, so it probably means he's like a murderer or something. And of course, Connor's all over her, so I guess maybe he's implicated in leading her down this path that we'll get to later. But moving on, we'll get to that point, because it's such a good turn later. One of the scenes that I really liked was what Annalise said to Bonnie. Always bringing me problems, never solutions. Which, at that point, I wanted Bonnie to say, unless you don't count Rebecca, because then I did both. You know, here's the problems. Yeah, I bring you. Here we got the cop said Caleb's DNA was at the scene of the aunt's murder. But, you know, I solved the Rebecca question by suffocating her with a bag. So, if we're going with that, Annalise, I totally brought you to a solution. See? You lie, Annalise. Totally bringing problems and solutions. Boom. But she didn't do that. It probably wouldn't have worked anyway. Wes as the puppy to get in with Catherine. I'm not ready for him to go flirting with anyone that isn't Rebecca yet. Even if she was a brat. She was near and likable before she was murdered, but hey, whatever advances the case, he's got to do his part, and they have to move the case along, so I guess I have to let go of my disdain over poor Rebecca being murdered for something she didn't do, even though she totally did just screw that guy up with some serious drugs. That was horrible. I liked that Bonnie decided, hey, you know, I'm savvy. And we've seen her be savvy last season, even though she made a lot of blunders. But using that surveillance evidence lie on Caleb was a pretty smart ploy, and it worked. And then we've got Miss Evil Sinclair, who's really going after Annalise at a preliminary hearing that Annalise correctly points out should be about Nate. And it sounds obvious what a preliminary hearing would be, but just to clarify, so I can make my point, about Miss Sinclair and her prosecuting ways and how she is just out to get Annalise. We're going to go and move to the law term for this episode. And of course, this is where I pull out a law term or phrase or something mentioned in the show and go in depth briefly to get a better understanding and context for the show. So here we go. Preliminary hearing. Is usually held soon after an arraignment. Preliminary hearing is best described as a trial before the trial at which the judge decides not whether the defendant is guilty or not guilty, but whether there is enough evidence to force the defendant to stand trial. In making this determination, the judge uses the probable cause legal standard, deciding whether the government has produced enough evidence to convince a reasonable jury that the defendant committed the crime or crimes charged. Now, what to expect at a preliminary hearing. In reaching this probable cause decision, the judge listens to arguments from the government through a government attorney or prosecutor, and from the defendant, usually through his or her attorney. The prosecutor may call witnesses to testify and can introduce physical evidence in an effort to convince the judge that the case should go to trial. The defense usually cross-examines the government's witnesses and calls into question any other evidence presented against the defendant, seeking to convince the judge that the prosecutor's case is not strong enough so that the case against the defendant must be dismissed before trial. Now, there isn't always a preliminary hearing. A preliminary hearing may not be held in every criminal case in which a not guilty plea is entered. Some states conduct preliminary hearings only when a felony is charged, and other states utilize a grand jury indictment process in which a designated group of citizens decides whether, based on the government's evidence, the case should proceed to trial. Last but not least, the possibility always exists that any time prior to the preliminary hearing, a criminal case will be resolved through a plea bargain between the government and the defendant. There we go. Once again, proving that Ms. Sinclair was not doing her job correctly because she was over here trying to make her case against Annalise and really not Nate. She seemed to have certainty when she tried to implicate Nate and Annalise both killing Sam, but she really went after Annalise. So, of course, Miss Sinclair not doing her job. Or actually, she kind of was doing her job, just on the wrong person. Then we come to Trouble in Loveland. Asher, here we go. Students are at Annalise's office working on the case, and Oliver shows up, and of course, Asher and his tactless way of handling things, he didn't mean any harm at all, but man, learn when to discern what to keep to yourself. Seriously, Connor, why? Why did you even say this? I know I went into this before, that maybe he was just trying to find something to, you know, that Asher wouldn't question so they can cover up their talking about the murdering of Sam, but it's kind of deep, but of course it had to be at the forefront of his mind, so maybe it's just the first thing that came out and he just went with it. But as one would expect, Oliver wasn't happy, but at least he still gave him the keys to his apartment, so at least he didn't just leave with the keys and tell Connor that he never wanted to see him again. And I also realized, I don't know if I did it just now, but I know I did it in the last podcast, I meant that Connor moved in with Oliver, and that it looked like Connor had possibly played lacrosse. I realized that when I forced myself to re-listen to the podcast to make sure if I messed anything up in the editing. I don't really like doing that, so I apologize if there are mistakes I did not edit out, because I don't like listening to myself, which... it's probably not good if you listen to me and I'm over here talking about I don't want to listen to myself. Anyway, moving on. Annalise going ahead and continuing to throw Nate under the bus. But she deserves what she has coming next, I say, after she just says, oh yeah, yep, I think Nate was the one who killed my husband, yep. So, Eve tears into Annalise with not only the force of an experienced and successful trial lawyer, but one who has been personally hurt and knows the true character of the person she's cross-examining. I mean, this was definitely personal, but it was the right choice, and I believe Annalise deserved it. Even if I love Annalise and she didn't murder Sam, she did frame Nate, and we haven't forgotten that, right? So we need to keep that at the forefront of our minds. She framed Nate. And you can tell Eve was putting personal experience and understanding of Annalise into this, and she did an effective job. She knew where to hurt Annalise and got the emotion out of her, and I mean, the look on Annalise's face on the stand, she hit that note hard and hit well, and hey, she did her job for her client, so she can be blamed and can't be blamed at the same time, but at the same time, Annalise deserved it. Let's go back to Oliver and Connor, because they're adorable. I'm glad Oliver wasn't mad at Connor because it allowed Oliver to resume his IT role. Go IT people, we're the awesome. Appreciate your IT people. We're wonderful and useful. Treat us nicely. But he helps Michaela, and thanks to him, they know Caleb's DNA was planted at the aunt's crime scene because the first test was deleted. Oh, and the cops decided, oh, let's do another test, and suddenly Caleb's DNA appears. Oh, interesting. Now, is it true that Annalise wants Bonnie and others to make their own choices, or let Annalise make the choices for them? I'm on the side of Annalise likes to have the final say, because when she doesn't get the final say, she says she's the one who actually ends up cleaning up the mess after other people have made their decisions, like the murder of Sam and now Rebecca. So when her and Bonnie are having that huge fight, and Bonnie's saying, you know, what do you want me to do? I thought you wanted me to have you make the decisions for me. And Annalise is saying, no, I want you to make the decisions, really? I don't know. It's like Annalise wants people to think for themselves, but when they do, they get themselves in trouble. I mean, she's their mother hen, and she's getting real tired of mothering, really, is the problem. And she wants them to think for themselves, but it's hard to think for yourself when you have such a domineering, strong mom who finds ways to get you out of mess and, you know, somebody who's saved you, apparently. And I need to know what in the world happened, how she's so indebted to Annalise. I want to know what happened there that Bonnie's just getting trampled on, that she would still be so indebted and just so, just like she needs Annalise's approval. I mean, goodness, give us that backstory. Gosh, give us that backstory. I need to know. And also, do the students and Annalise's staff need to be saved from her? What are you guys thinking? I'm going to go with yes and no. If they hadn't gotten involved with her, Annalise and no one else would be in this situation. But because of Annalise, the situations have not landed her staff and the students in jail. I mean, and that's through her sheer determination to protect them. But, and actually covering her own ass, because she's solidly tied to this group, so she's covering, she's doing her own CYA and the students. So, I mean, they do need to be safe from her, but right about now, they have no choice but to be with her. She's their best chance at staying out of jail and not going away forever for murder or be on death row. But then again, would they be on death row if they wouldn't have become the Keating Five? Or at this point, the Keating Four, the only guilty ones, and Asher is just kind of in the background. Thank goodness poor Nate is finally free. I mean, he didn't deserve any of this shit. And I'd be one bitter ass man if I was Nate. He's got done wrong. At first, you know, the worst part was when, in the first season, she had him come on the stand and she cross-examined him and made him admit that the precinct, you know, may have doctored some videos in the time he's worked there, and that's been something like that all the way to him being possibly on death row for the murder of her husband. I mean, I'd be a bitter man with a huge vendetta. And some people would just want to walk away and just maybe move to a different state. But, I mean, now his mistress has done him wrong. His wife, I think, is dead at this point. I guess I know she was dying of cancer. But that man's probably got a vendetta. And if I know this show, that's going to be useful. Was the look on the students' faces after Nate was free, were those looks of relief or looks of, oh, shit? Now they'll reinvestigate and we'll once again have to watch our backs. I'm going to go with the latter as opposed to the former. I mean, I'd like to think they're relieved, but come on, this puts them out there again because they're going to start investigating Annalise. And Annalise is tied to these students, and of course they're going to want to investigate everything. And they're going to want to investigate Eve, and they're going to get to the students. So of course, I'm thinking they're not so much worried about Nate because they were happy to throw him under the bus. Wouldn't you be if he got you all, like, you're... That was going to turn into a really dirty sentence. I am sorry. And because of that, we're going to move on. And now that I look at my next point, it's not like it's going to get any better. Was Oliver's HIV contraction story true? Because it sounded plausible to me. Sounded simple. Sounded believable. I don't know if we have to think about that much further, but it is true that Connor's decision probably led him to that, but sucks for Oliver. Now, move on to something good. I love the scene between Eve and Annalise. Aha, I bet you were thinking, Kim, you pervert. I mean, that sex scene was wonderful later, but I enjoyed that Eve came over to Annalise's house and forced Annalise to be honest and make her tell Eve that she was angry with her for attacking her on the stand. And Eve was able to admit that she did indeed make it personal to get at her because she still has strong feelings for Annalise, and it was cute, and of course, I also enjoyed that Annalise was eating a bag of chips before this argument started. I don't know why that was so amusing to me, but she just anger eating, just yay, angry eating before makeup sex. I don't know. That seems to work for me. Argument, chips, sex. It goes together, right? We've all been there, though, in the situation where the relationship, where things just felt too real, so we ran away. Or if you were in my boat, you were the person who got ran away from because the other person was feeling it was too real. It's an awful feeling on both sides. But since, you know, I'm more on the side of the too real and I was run away from, bitter, bitter, bitter human being. Awful feeling. And speaking of hot sex scenes, oh, wait, we don't exactly get another one. Thank you, Frank, for cock blocking Laurel. I mean, you better come correct next time, girl. This isn't just about sex anymore. Their relationship has definitely changed, whether she knows it or not, but Frank, I mean, smooth with the dirty talk. If he wasn't of the male species, maybe I'd have been turned on. But geez, that speech he was giving, she was all like moaning already and stuff. It's pretty smooth. Bam. Put it down, Frank. Put it down. Kick her out. It was funny. Oh, hell no. Like I said, beware of random plain clothed dudes in a courthouse. Because guess what? Mr. Levi, who is currently out on a date with Michaela, was in a picture Wes was looking at that included Rebecca. Well, maybe Michaela texting Eggs 911 brought this creeper along. He did ask for her number in the courthouse. I bet he already knew it. And I bet you Michaela brought it on herself because Rebecca most likely texted him, and I'm going to call him Mr. Eggs 911. That's right. I think this Levi guy is Eggs 911, and the only reason he came around is because Michaela was dumb enough to text him, and he found her out. Because, and I feel like the show was giving us quite a subtle hint when he approaches her and talks about needing a phone. He's talking to Michaela, so I think we can go ahead and say this guy's gotta be Eggs 911. She was probably texting him to have him come save her. And here Michaela's on a date with him. Great. Here we go. We have another parking garage meeting with Miss Sinclair smugly telling Asher she's the new prosecutor on the Hapstall case. But as we see later, I bet she's going to regret that. Why are Annalise and Eve having a conversation outside in broad daylight the day after they hit the boom boom room to do it? At Annalise's house. And after Miss Sinclair clearly tried to make a tie to both of them being friends and saying, you know, maybe they were corroborating something, trying to basically just muddy up Annalise's reputation, and they're in broad daylight, just in front of Annalise's house. And they were lucky it was only Nate who saw him kiss as he lurked in a car across the street. Or is that actually lucky? Would they rather have Miss Evil Sinclair see that or Nate? Which one's worse? You would think it would be Sinclair, because obviously she's a lawyer who's got it in for Annalise. Or would it be Nate? Because Nate probably would go to Sinclair and they would get Annalise. Really, I don't know which one's worse because I feel like they both have it in for Annalise, so she's screwed either way. Now we flash forward, and Connor is the only student that wanted to stay by Annalise's side after, of course, saying, "It's always your fault." He's still freaking out like he did in the first murder, but he wasn't really worried about Sam at that time. He was just freaking out. But he seems to want to stop the blood flow, and he's the only student out of the four that's still by her, and the rest of the students come and try to pull him away. But, of course, who else is dead? Miss Smug Sinclair, Ooh, yeah. How's that half-stall case working for you, ma'am? This is where the scene before this can color this flash forward, I think. Did Nate somehow end up at the half-stall home and shot Annalise and Sinclair? I don't think he would have. But what about Eve? I'm starting to think that a third body in that house is going to be revealed soon, and that third body, I'm thinking that is going to be the body of Eve. But killed by who? Nate? Or maybe Eve takes out Annalise and Sinclair? Man, I hope we don't have a room full of people with guns and they all pull the trigger at the same time and we're like, oh gosh, who dies? Who's alive? Did somebody miss and somebody shot a picture? Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Yet, maybe Bonnie thinks she's saving Annalise again and takes out Sinclair. But who would have shot Annalise in that case? Nate? Or maybe a fourth body will be Bonnie's. That would mean, how would the students get into this entire scenario, of course? Maybe we're about to turn last season's scenario all around and find out that Asher, for once, is in on a murder with Bonnie at his side, and the Keating Killer 4 are the ones to happen onto the scene after Asher and Bonnie take out Annalise and Sinclair. What do you think, guys? You should tell me. And you can do that by sending a tweet at GetAwayWithLaw. Search out the Facebook group by just searching out How to Get Away with Law. Or you can email, and you can either just type out an email, or you can actually even record using your computer microphone, or even just your iPhone, Android, whatever, record a voice note, a WAV file, anything, the MP3 file, and just attach it to an email, and just send it to howtogetawaywithlaw@gmail.com. And just let me know, give me your thoughts, tell me what your predictions are for how this flash forward ends up happening. Thoughts, suggestions, anything, send them all my way. And, of course, go ahead and check out iTunes. Give me a rating, give me some love there. Whether it's one star, but I prefer fives. And hopefully a written comment. And tell your friends, get the word out there. There aren't very many podcasts for the show. There's a bunch of podcasts where they talk about the show, but they talk about other shows or other stuff. We got the wonderfulness that is AfterBuzz doing a show, and then the other show that focuses mainly on this show. So get the word out, guys. Let everybody discuss this wonderful show. And until next Monday, after we've enjoyed the goodness that is Thursday's episode, I will talk to you then.